All right, it's baseball for breakfast this morning. Giants and the Pirates coming up at 10 a.m. here on KNBR. It's Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest. He's a national reporter covering all 30 teams for FanSided, my good friend Robert Murray. Bert, how are you this morning?
Hey, how's it going, my friend? I'm doing really well.
Really looking forward to talking with you, Bert. We're going to talk all about the National League West, all about MLB as a whole. But to start things off, I want to get your perspective on the Giants. You know, halfway through the month of May now, 23-16, coming off back-to-back tough losses against the Pirates, but they're still in first place in the National League West. I don't think when we talked back in spring training that we would have predicted that the Giants would be ahead of the Padres and Dodgers. So just generally, what have your impressions been of Gabe Kapler's club this season?
Yeah, I think the word surprise is exactly right. I never in a million years thought the Giants through 40 games of the season would end up being in first place in the division, but you can really kind of pinpoint it to the pitching staff and the starting pitchers. And I mean, you've gotten to see it up close every day with how dominant they've been. One through five, Alex Wood's been very good. Desclafini's been very good. Gossman's been very good atop the rotation. And they've basically done it without Johnny Cueto, who's battling an injury for the majority of the season here. But pitching staff, you get the offense too from Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford, among others, and it's been a recipe for success, and it's led them to being ahead of the Dodgers and the Padres, which I did not see coming. But I don't know if it's going to end up lasting, but through 40 games, it's probably been the biggest surprise of the season so far.
You know, Bert, you mentioned Brandon Crawford there, and I sent out a tweet on Saturday night posting his numbers this season compared with the other shortstops who are set to become free agents at the end of this season. Corey Seager, Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Javi Baez, and Crawford, against all odds, has the best numbers of those players. Of that group, obviously Corey Seager going down with a fractured hand last night in the Dodgers game, but of that group, who do you expect to command the largest contract in free agency this offseason? Because I think we can all agree, despite the great start that Crawford's had, it's not going to be the 34-year-old lifetime Giant.
No, it's definitely not. But he's been one of the best stories so far this year, for sure. But of that group, even though he just went on the injured list, I think it's going to end up being Seager, because a lot of these teams are really intrigued by him, and he could end up commanding a deal north of what Lindor got, from what I've gathered. I know Ken Rosenthal also reported that same thing too. There's teams that really like his power and what he brings to the table, and rightfully so. He's going to end up being a much more coveted free agent, even though he's on the injured list now, than a guy like Javier Baez, who's really struggled. I think Seager is going to end up commanding the biggest deal of the bunch, and everybody else is going to end up being a little bit behind him.
Oh, really interesting stuff. And speaking of Corey Seager, let's touch on this Dodgers team. Starting to win a few games now. Trevor Bauer was excellent last night, had 10 strikeouts through four innings, 22-17. But Andrew Friedman, going back to his player acquisition strategy like he had during his Tampa Bay Rays days. I mean, the Dodgers these days, Robert, are claiming guys on waivers. They're signing Albert Pujols. What has gotten into this Dodgers team? And is the depth not as good as the Dodgers of 2017, 2018, 2019, and last year? The World Series club.
Yeah, that depth is certainly being tested right now with how many injuries they have. And signing a guy like Pujols, that was not on my radar. I did not have the Dodgers anywhere near the list of teams that I thought would be a fit for Pujols. I thought he'd end up going to an American League team where it could DH. And the Dodgers need all the help they can get right now with the injuries, as I said. And even though they're not playing remotely close to their potential, they're still only one game back in the division, which I think is a testament to what they have. I mean, Mookie Betts obviously covers up quite a bit, and having a player like that. But hopefully Pujols can end up being another reclamation, or maybe reclamation project isn't the right phrase, but another veteran player that they bring in who can contribute. Where they ended up doing the same thing with David Freese a couple of years ago when a lot of people wrote him off, and he ended up giving them meaningful at-bats. So it's going to end up being very interesting to see how much playing time he gets, which I think it's going to end up being minimal at first base. But having a guy like Pujols on the bench where he can offer a veteran advice and be a leader and kind of guide these guys once again to hopefully to a World Series championship, I think that's a pretty invaluable thing. And for about $400,000, I believe it is, it's a risk worth taking for sure.
A good perspective from Robert Murray, covers all 30 teams, national reporter for fansided.com. I hadn't heard the David Freeze comparison, but that's really good. I think that would scare most of the National League West, because David Freeze, he torched left-handed pitching when he was in Los Angeles. So that is an interesting perspective. And I want to get your thoughts on the Padres so far. You know, the huge offseason moves to go out and get Blake Snell, to get Yu Darvish, to sign Ha-Sung Kim to fortify that infield. Padres 23-17. The thing that impresses me most about that team, Robert, the bullpen. They've dealt with injuries, but Mark Melanson and Drew Pomeranz, they've been very solid at the back end. Your thoughts on the Padres?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head there with the bullpen and how it's been very impressive. And they're another team. It feels like we're talking about all these injuries with these teams, but with them and having a COVID outbreak, they've really kind of withstood that so far. They're trying to complete the sweep of the Cardinals today, and I give them a ton of credit. And doing it without a guy like Fernando Tatis, who's arguably the best player in baseball, it just makes it even more impressive. This team is, to me, they need at least one or two more pieces to be able to truly like surpass the Dodgers. I think they're close to like going with them, but they're going to end up needing another piece or two. But what they have right now with the bullpen, with the hitting and the pitching staff, I think the pitching staff is going to end up being better, even though they've struggled, especially Blake Snell. This is a team where come October and watching them and the Dodgers and even the Giants go at it, that's going to end up being easily the most exciting postseason race, in my opinion. And I don't think it's going to end up being close, if we're being honest.
And I think that all those teams are going to enjoy beating up on the Colorado Rockies. 10 games under 500 right now. They're 2-14 away from Coors Field. Just a failure from Jeff Bridich, who is no longer there, of course, in Colorado. But I also think that this is a Rockies team that could get significantly worse this summer, Robert, because Trevor Story could be on the move. And you think there's another Rockies player who could also command a lot of attention ahead of the trade deadline.
Yeah, from what I've gathered, John Gray is going to end up being a very coveted pitcher at the deadline. And I've had a couple of rival executives tell me that he could end up being one of the first players dealt. And from what I've gathered, they even put feelers out for him at spring training. Obviously, things have changed a little bit because Bradich is no longer there. But Gray is going to end up commanding a decent haul. And I even think the Rockies would be smart to try to extend him before they try to trade him, just because he's been so good at Coors Field. He's one of the few pitchers who actually pitches better at Coors, like, as opposed to any other stadium, which that to me, that has a ton of value for a Rockies team that needs all the help that they can get. But if you're able to get an absolute haul for Gray, which I think he'll command that, because he'll be one of the best starting pitchers on the market, you have to entertain that for sure. But he's going to end up commanding quite a bit of interest. That's been the talk of the trade buzz so far, at least early on this season.
Well, let's take a look at some of the other divisions around baseball. I want to get your thoughts on the National League East right now. The Mets out in first place at 18-15. Phillies 21-19. The Braves sitting there in third place, Robert. I was big on the Braves heading into spring training. I know they were a team that we talked about a lot with their starting pitching, the young starting pitching, but Mike Soroka has not been healthy. Doesn't sound like he will be healthy anytime soon. Thoughts on the NL East and what could happen there over the next few months?
Yeah, the team I'm keeping an eye on there is the Mets, just because I think Lindor can't be as bad as he's been throughout this entire season. He's too good of a player to be down like this, but they certainly have their issues with firing their hitting coach and their assistant hitting coach. That ruffled a lot of feathers there, but they should be able to withstand that, and they have the pitching to be able to do it too. They're hopefully going to get Noah Syndergaard back at some point in the midseason, and they're optimistic it could end up being sooner rather than later. The Braves, as you said, are they're one of the more disappointing teams for me, because I thought they would be one of the clear-cut favorites to win. I shouldn't say clear-cut, but I thought they would end up being in first or second place throughout most of the season, and being in third place is not what they envision, and they're going to end up having to go out at the deadline and probably getting another starter just because Soroka doesn't sound like he's going to end up being back anytime soon. But right now, if I had to pick a favorite, I'd go with the Mets, but the other two teams, especially the Braves and the Phillies, they're very talented, obviously, and they're going to end up giving them a run for their money. And Zach Wheeler for the Phillies has been, I mean, you got to see him in San Francisco before he got traded for Carlos Beltran. He's a very talented pitcher, and he's earning every bit of that contract that he got. And some even believe it's looking like a steal at this point.
Yeah, Wheeler, he really has been fun. We saw him in San Jose before he was dealt. He was down at the California League when he was dealt back in 2011 for Carlos Beltran. Looking back a decade ago, hard to believe that time has gone by so quickly. And one more for you, Robert. The National League Central, the Cardinals out to a 23-17 start. They're outpacing just about everyone in that division. The Brewers got off to an interesting start. They've got great starting pitching. We've talked about Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta together. But it really is Katie Wu's Cardinals. You know, she's a friend of the show, and they've been the most interesting team so far, I think, in that NL Central race.
I would agree. It's the Katie Wu magic is what it is. That is, yeah. The Cardinals are, they're definitely, they had made some really controversial moves this offseason, and I think one of them would certainly be letting Colton Wong go and declining his club option and having him sign with the Brewers. And they put a lot of they bet a lot on Tommy Edman, and he's been very good at second base. He's been an invaluable player atop the lineup for them and defensively as well. Starting pitching headlined by Jack Flaherty has been very good. Alex Reyes is looking like one of the best closers in all of baseball right now. And obviously when you add a guy like Nolan Arenado to pair with Paul Goldschmidt, that gives you a ton of credibility in the middle of the lineup, and they've been very good, and they're probably going to end up getting better as the season goes on. I know Arenado has talked about not being super comfortable yet. He's trying to get acclimated with his surroundings and his new teammates and everything, and you would certainly expect him to get better. But going into the season, I thought it would end up being a two-team race between the Cardinals and the Brewers. And Brewers, as you said, got off to a hot start, but they've battled a lot of injuries lately. At one point, I think they had 17 players on the injured list. And the injuries that they had to Yelich and then the struggles with Keston Hira and Burns going on the COVID list, that was basically too much for them to overcome. And now they're at 500, and they're going to get better, but I don't know what their ceiling looks like just because they need a lot of help, especially on offense. And I don't know if they have the resources available to go get a difference maker like they did in years past with Mike Moustakas and other players like that.
Well, we love having you, Robert. We love the national perspective. Thank you so much for joining us early on this Sunday morning. Really appreciate it. Have a great Sunday.
Hey, you were the man. I appreciate you.
All right. He is Robert Murray, covers all 30 teams for fansided.com, does a tremendous job. Up next, more on this Giants pregame show, baseball for breakfast. The Giants and the Pirates wrapping up the four-game set at PNC Park this morning. Bill and Marty with more on the pregame show coming up next. KMBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.